found it. The most unprofessional little podcast there ever was. Ain't much else to say. Just sit back, sip on some whiskey, and be entertained. Because the Whiskey Bros are about to make love to your ears.
Back to the Whiskey Bros around the table.
What is this, like 118, 16?
Who are you, Doc?
15, 12?
Is Doc here? It doesn't sound like him asking that question.
Yeah, I know. I'm just doing it because he's not here.
And the answer is no, he's not here. He bailed on us last minute. What a scumbag.
Freaking Doc.
I don't like the way my hair looks right now, so I'm going to put a hat on.
Oh, I love the way mine looks.
But while I'm doing that, why don't you introduce who we've got on the show with us tonight?
Sure. Yeah, we got a special guest, and it's not Doc, that's for sure. His name is the one and only Jeff Jones. Maybe.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, Jeff? How's it going, man? My parents were very creative when coming up with names.
Hey, I like it.
Did you get the name JJ? Did anybody call you that in high school?
That's actually my grandfather name.
Okay.
My grandparent name.
Oh.
JJ.
So, yeah.
Cool. How many grandkids you have?
Five.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, cranking them out.
You're kind of probably cash poor then, aren't you?
We're working on it. Getting there quickly.
Oh, man.
What do you spend more on, kids or the grandkids yet?
Well, grandkids now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I know.
Well, so you are, tell us about yourself. You are owner of Twisted X?
No, I'm the chief financial officer.
Okay, CFO. So,
yes. CFO.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been there about 9.5 years now.
Hey.
Before that, I did a little time with Bloomer Trailer. Well, actually, before that, I was with Ariat for a year as a sales rep.
Okay.
Did a little time with Bloomer Trailers in Salado before that, and then spent 19 years with NRS. It was David's Western
Holy
Store.
Holy cow, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Way back in the day when it was on 51.
51, yeah.
My first pair of boots right there.
Yeah, so, and then public accounting and all that kind of stuff before that. So
nice.
I've been around longer than I like to think about.
What department were you in when you were at David's when it was back on 51?
I was in all the departments. So my job was really hired in to be the controller CFO.
Okay.
But I was also the general manager for retail. I did HR. I did IT. And a few other things.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I went to college, I wanted to be a psychology major because I like what makes people tick.
Mm.
My parents said they would help pay for an accounting degree. Got an accounting degree.
Yeah, how success.
Two don't exactly crosstalk, do they?
Yeah.
Psychology and accounting.
Yeah. Like, so 25 years later, I went back to school and got a master's in conflict resolution. So
interesting.
Yeah.
And how does that apply to your day to day?
Tell me where you don't have conflict in your life.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. Yeah. So it does apply.
It does apply
on your day to day.
Yes.
Well, cool, man. Well, thanks for being here. He did tell me that you do like tequilas.
Yes.
And you did tell me that you like mezcals.
Yes.
I want you to try this, our Rio Grande Sotol from Red River Distillery.
Yeah.
If you like smoky, pass me your glass. Or here, just take the bottle. Take the bottle and pour yourself a little bit. I want to see what you think of it.
Or a lot of bit.
You know. Do you, are you vegan?
Nope.
Okay, good.
That's the best answer.
That's the right answer. That is the right answer. So that stuff goes like so well with red meats, paired with any kind of red meat, anything savory, salty, it's good stuff. So I'm curious to see if you are a connoisseur of agave stuff, if you like it.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, good
to
know.
Pretty good, huh?
Yes.
I don't even like tequila, really, but I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
It is a unique animal for sure. So, well, cheers. Good. We'll get started right here then. We got whiskey and you got Sotol.
Yeah, there's a lot of mezcals I don't like to drink because they're too smoky.
Interesting.
This one.
Yep.
I like this.
Some of them are a little too egregious on the smoke, like they've just poured liquid smoke into the
shit.
And it's like, no, this is fake.
Yeah.
Just fake news. Get it out of here.
It's like you're drinking a campfire.
Almost. So 19 years at David's. And then to Bloomer trailer?
Bloomer trailers.
Bloomer trailers.
So if you watched Yellowstone, you saw Bloomer trailers hauling their horses.
Didn't Kevin Costner get an appendectomy in a Bloomer trailer in the first season?
I think so.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, that show has done a lot, though. Like, we knock it. Some of it's a little ridiculous and over the top, like, you know, herding cattle with helicopters in the mountains and... of course, you know, taking people to the train station.
Right.
But,
well, we hope that's ridiculous.
Like, yeah,
Those shows have done a lot for cowboy culture and drawn in the tourism and the millions of dollars.
Millions.
Definitely.
Cowtown Fort Worth is now like the capital Cowtown.
It is.
I cannot believe the amount of tourists that flock to Fort Worth now, just because of what Yellowstone has done for imagery.
It's crazy when you go down there now, because I mean I remember it all those years ago when it was, you know, there were still tourists, but it just
nothing like it
didn't have anything like it does now. And then, of course, the Drover Hotel isn't a cheap place to stay, and it's full all the time, it seems like.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Which they did a great job with that whole area right there.
They really did.
I mean, it used to be, when I was young, it was like, we didn't go on that side of the street. It was kind of dark and cloudy over there.
Except for after, like, you know, 9 p.m.
Yeah.
After Liquid Courage had something to play at that point. Yeah,
it's nice.
Dockyard's unbelievable. Yeah. I remember in 2020 when COVID was, like, right in the middle of its psychotic phase. My wife's family all came down from Chicago, and she's like, I want to take him to the Stockyards. And I'm like, what do you want to take him to that shithole for? But I hadn't been down there since they had renewed it, I guess, to an extent. And we went, and it was just, I mean, elbow to elbow with tourists and people. And the place had been made into a livable place, I guess is the word. It was nice.
Yeah. We had one of our, my oldest grandson was down last summer, and we took him down there, you know, to see the cattle drive. He lives in Missouri. And so we take him down to see the cattle drive, and I'm amazed at all the different languages around me that I'm hearing, and, you know, just blown away.
Yeah.
That who would have ever thought it?
Yep.
Here it is. Here, and we're living it.
Yeah.
So you are CFO of Twisted X, and for the past 9 years have been involved with Twisted X. How long has Twisted X been a company?
It'll be 20 years this August.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah.
So what all does Twisted X produce?
So it's all footwear. It started out as a Western boot company, but has evolved. The company went through bankruptcy in 2008, and they brought in Prasad Reddy, who's now our CEO, just as a turnaround consultant at the time. But you know, he was needing to make bankruptcy payments, and it's 2008. There's a little bit of a recession going on. 2009, there's a drought. People aren't buying cowboy boots very much. He introduced that Western driving mock, and I was at NRS when it came out, and I remembered us looking at it, thinking, you know, this is a little different. It's very comfortable. We may sell a few. 10 years later, we sold the millionth pair of that original style, but it just blew up.
They're casual. So comfortable.
Yeah.
And when you get older and fatter and lazier, they are more necessary too. Like, I love a good cowboy boot, right?
Yeah. But
sometimes you got to just slip into the mock. Like, I mean, those aren't Twisted X. Sorry for that. But I have had a few pair that I have literally worn the soles off of these things.
And they are. And comfort has always been the big deal.
Yeah.
A few years back, I guess it's 2019, I believe, we came out with a patented comfort technology we call Cell Stretch. Mm-hmm. We started putting it in our casual shoes, and those started just flying off the shelf. Mm-hmm. So then we put them in our work boots. And now the work boots are our leading leading sales per unit right now.
Yeah, I think I had the pair right in the middle of the bottom of the sole. It's got the beads in it.
Yes,
that's
just a marketing window, but that's showing what's in that forefoot and heel that is giving the cushioning.
There's beads.
Yeah, right in the middle of the sole. Like, if this is your foot, it's basically right in the middle. It's like a little square window. Well, you flip it over and see the beads inside.
Yeah.
Well, and they look like beads.
Well, like I said, I mean, they are just little rubber, I think is the right.
Right.
It may be polyurethane or something. I can't remember. But
science.
Yeah. But they're built into that forefoot and heel. Mm. And now we've got them in our Western boots also.
Yeah, little displays that you can see the interior.
Yeah, what's inside your boot.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I know.
Huh. Yeah.
I like to see the way things work. I've never known that.
They are comfortable.
Actually, I meant to bring a cutaway of it so I could show it today.
Well, that means you got to come back.
Yeah. Vacation kind of overtook my mind.
Oh, yeah. Where did you just get back from Cabo, right?
Cabo, yeah.
How long were you there?
We were there 4 nights, okay. 5 days. So
did you recently just find that you like tequilas, or have you always liked tequilas?
No, I like tequilas since back in college.
Okay.
So
You didn't, like most people do tend to overdo it, and then, you know,
they
don't like it anymore. Like for margaritas, I had to have like a 10-year to 15-year hiatus because I drank way too many. God, it was the Jose Cuervo premix shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I drank like a gallon and a half of it. And
Jack Daniels did that to me.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
But I think everybody could say that.
But tequila, I've always, it's something that I don't get hangovers. It actually makes me feel more alert, gives me more energy. Can't explain it.
Interesting. So it's like a therapeutic for you.
It is. Medicinal.
It's medicinal. Yeah,
for sure.
I think the agave scene is like set to explode for spirits. It's just like people are really getting invested into the origin and the stories and the families and the culture behind it.
Like, yeah, there's one I drink called La Gritona. It's a women-owned distillery in Mexico.
That, okay.
You know, it's just, there's a great story behind it, but it's great tequila. Hmm. So they make a reposado that is just easy to sip on.
Who knew Mexico would go woke?
Yeah.
I like it. We have an all woman distillery in Kentucky now, I think. I think this lady, I can't remember the whiskey, but she used to work for Buffalo Trace maybe.
Yeah.
And then left them and created her own thing, and I've heard really, really good things, but I've not had the whiskey yet. But
yeah. There's been a lot of like ladies that are into whiskey.
Yeah.
And
cigars.
Yeah, and cigars, yeah. Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been more than a few up at the Chief. At first it was weird because it's like cigar is synonymous with like things that gentlemen do, yeah, sitting around and talking about the news and the local.
I think back in the day, that's how.
But now sure, the women enter the scene. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I guess they saw how much fun we were having.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are onto something.
We're going to go ruin that for the guys.
Hashtag JK. But yeah, the agave scene is pretty cool. We have the distillery for Red River has 3, but we can't call them tequila or anything of the sort because it's distilled. Like we import all the stuff from Mexico,
right?
Chihuahua, Jalisco, and Sonora, but we can't call it tequila,
right?
Because it's distilled in New Mexico, even though it's using Mexican's product. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the cartel, but you don't want them coming after you. That's what
I've also heard.
You don't want to be in their bad graces. Like you want to be on their good graces. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we were. Somebody told me, you know, avoid the cartel while you're down there. And I just laughed. And then we go down to the pier to fish. And there's these guys that come walking towards us with these masks over their face. And it's kind of, for a moment, you're just like,
oh, shit.
Hey, is this a thing? Then we figured out a lot of them are just wearing it because it was so windy. It just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So you weren't about to be kidnapped.
No.
Okay.
No.
They were
just working.
Do you remember the story from a few years ago where a bunch of the dudes from like Decatur ended up getting kidnapped and taken hostage?
Yes.
They went on a hunting trip.
Yeah, they were on a hunting trip. Yep. And this cartel faction came through and like, you're going with us.
Yeah.
We need your guns and you're going with us.
No, it was weird. I don't think they took anything. I think they.
No, they gave them everything back.
Everything back.
And in that moment, they took everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they like went and fed them and
hung
out for a little while. And they're like, sorry, we took all your shit. We just need to make sure that you weren't going to shoot us in the bag. I don't know. So, but yeah, they all came back with their lives. Thankfully.
Yeah. Yeah, so cartels get a bad rap sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. You know, they're all really nice people.
They're very hospitable.
Yeah.
Just don't piss them off. But back to the leather work. So did Twisted X, did they pioneer the mocks or had those?
Yeah, I mean, Twisted X was the first one to introduce that style of a shoe. I mean, there were some other companies that had the leather chunky shoes before that, but Twisted X was the first one to bring in that driving mock and certainly bring in the comfort factor with it. And so, it took off.
Yeah.
And then it was just, okay, how many more styles and differentiations can we make?
You call it a driving mock. So, was this like targeted towards the truck driving demographic? for marketing at first? Or
it was just that original outsole was like a driving mock shoe, like what Cole Haan or anybody else would have for a driving mock. And Persaud just put the bomber leather on it with a three-quarter top to make it a little more Western.
Okay.
And so it is like your – that original one is like a traditional driving mock shoe. But he just did it because it was comfortable, looked different, little unique, and it worked.
They are comfortable. I've had like three pair of them.
You're also the owner of Summit Coaching?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, when I went to school, I wanted to be a psychology major. So I'm still what makes people tick. And went back to school recently to get my certification as a life coach or whatever you want to call it. I refer to it as mental momentum coaching.
Hmm.
And it's just helping people go from where they are to where they want to be.
Hmm. Okay.
And it sounds like, well, why does anybody need help doing that? But think about all the people you know who always say, I wish I was.
Yeah.
So coaching is just using really good listening skills and listening for the things that aren't said in a conversation and asking questions back to the person to help them unlock those doors that are stopping them from getting to where they're going. So
yeah.
I always tell people what coaching isn't. It's not counseling. Counseling kind of goes back and deals with issues in your past. While we do that in coaching a little bit, it's really to move forward.
Yeah, it's more.
I've had clients that I have referred to therapists.
Yeah, and they need somebody to listen to them.
They need somebody to go help them deal with some trauma or some issue they've had that they can't get past. And it's not mentoring. Mentoring's this is how I did it. Mm-hmm. Do it my way. And it's not. What's the other consulting? Mm-hmm. You know, consulting's here's what I think you should do. I don't tell people what they should do. Who are the biggest experts on y'all's lives? It's you.
Sure. Yeah.
Not me. So my goal is just to help you find out what you want to do, figure out what you want to do, put plans to what you want to do, and help you get there.
So you've got a passion for people.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
You've got a true calling for that. Like what do they call it? The heart of a servant, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember the first time I heard somebody say that, I'm like, that sounds insulting. And then I kind of understood like what it really means. Like, no, it means you care about humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I've done in my job all these years. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when I was controller, CFO, all these other things now at Twisted X, I call it book club.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at NRS, I called it LEAD, which was leadership, enhancement, and development.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just what's going on that makes us better people and makes us able to work with other people. And I brought out Myers-Briggs and, all our personalities aren't alike. I brought out conflict style assessment. Hey, we deal with conflict different ways. And so, you know, once you start learning that about other people and realizing that, well, gosh, not everybody's just like me.
Yeah, yeah.
We can start working together more effectively.
I like that. So have you gotten, like, been pushed to the point where somebody has wanted your help, but they're not making any waves? Like, you
sure.
Just.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that we only get better when we want to get better.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so I can't make somebody do things that make them better. My wife is a therapist.
Okay.
She specializes in trauma therapy. And we've talked about that. You know, what happens when you have a client who just won't do the work?
Can't get them to respond.
To get better.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people, they're more comfortable in their misery and what they know than what could be. But, you know, it's, as a friend told me one time when I was going through my darkest days, he says, when you're walking through the cesspool of your life, you need to keep going.
Yeah, that's true.
And some people don't want to keep going.
They just kind of stop and wallow in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do make cattle prods. Those can also be coercive.
Yeah. And I may or may not have used those on my children at one point.
That's right.
They are effective. Have you ever been shocked by one?
Yes.
They hurt. They get a little hurt.
Yeah, they'll wake you up.
Yeah. Have you been shocked by one?
I've been shocked by the worst ones from the actual cattle barn.
Oh, yeah. Those are the high-powered
ones. No, they're wired in.
Yeah, they're wired into the 120.
Oh, yeah. Those will get you moving, I promise.
You don't have time to deal with dead batteries in places like that.
No. Yeah, I used to work there.
So how does life coaching or Summit Coaching translate into your everyday work with Twisted X?
Yeah, well, like I said, I at work, I do what I call book club.
Yeah.
But my goal as a leader at Twisted X is to make all my people successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I make them successful, guess whose life's easier?
Mine. That's right.
Yeah.
And then they get to do things. I mean, you know, the old adage, go hire somebody smarter than you.
That's right.
Yeah. So I've hired people who, a lot of them have different skill sets, different personalities than me. I'm a very empathetic person. Mm-hmm. So when I have to have those hard conversations, it's not pleasant. So mm-hmm. I've gone and hired people who aren't as empathetic as me so they can go have the hard conversations. I've gone and hired people who knew logistics better than me so they can help me make the best decisions in our logistics.
You truly know how to put the people in place to make things work, which is why you're in the position that you're in the position of, surely.
Yeah, I figured out if I was the smartest guy in the room all the time, we're all in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah. That's wisdom, though. Like, that's true wisdom. Like, you can't, what's the word I'm looking for? If you are, narcissism.
That right.
If you're thinking always you're the smartest person in the room, you're a narcissist.
Yes. And
that's not wise.
Yes.
It's not good for business.
It is not.
So are you, before you got into Twisted X, were you passionate about what was on your feet?
Yes. I've been in the Western business since 94 with, starting again with NRS. And even then I grew up, around Western lifestyle. I had an uncle that had a ranch, spent a lot of time out there. So I was in cowboy boots. I mean, did the whole Justin Roper thing. Mm-hmm. My first really cool pair of boots was some Anaconda skin.
Oh, dang.
That's nice.
You know, peanut colored cowboy boots. And they're still in my closet at my mom's house today. But I've just always, I played basketball growing up. So comfort has always been a thing for me.
Basketball shoes, I'm guessing, are of utmost importance to be, one, stable and comfortable while you're playing. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha.
You did kill one of the bullet points we have here. Like, what was your first pair of boots that were just completely unforgettable? And so an Anaconda pair. We were just talking about that the other day.
Yep.
We were talking about snake. I'm like, sometimes you look at a movie and you're like, that just looks cheesy and cliche. Snakeskin boots look cheesy and cliche, but I still want some.
Yeah.
They're just like, there's
maybe not rattlesnake.
Well, some of it's illegal. Some of them are protected. So make sure you're careful. Killing the right snake.
Exactly.
For one.
Exactly.
Can you have custom boots made?
We are production only, so we don't do any kind of custom.
You do your own snake killing and
yes. Somebody else does it for us. Yeah. So
do you have snake skin pairs that are offered?
Okay. We don't right now.
Okay. So who made your pair of Anaconda snake skin boots?
I think they were Tony Lama.
Interesting. Yeah. Are they still relevant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't hear of them as much as you used to.
Not as much, but they're still a big brand out there.
Okay.
Yeah. You can still spend a lot of money on a pair.
I know at one point I had a pair.
But everybody needs to go buy Twisted X. I just
want to sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Like, there was a Canadian boot company, Boulay.
Oh, yeah.
Are they still a thing?
They're still around.
Okay. Predominantly around here, it is Twisted X now, because Justin sold out years ago and went overseas. And then Nocona. So the big talk around here is Twisted X. Mm-hmm. That's the name you see above all.
Yeah.
Especially around Wise County, for sure. Speaking of that, tell us how Twisted X ended up in Decatur, Texas. How did that happen?
Well, it was just the founder, who's not a part of the company anymore, but when he was looking for a place, he was talking to different EDCs around Texas, and mm-hmm. the Decatur EDC jumped in to help him out and gave him the best deal at that time.
Nice.
How long ago was that?
It was in 2005.
So it was before Facebook. Because now anytime any new company comes to Decatur, it's automatic bandwagon of, well, this is not what we need. How dare they move a business into the city? It cracks my ass up. Like the new furniture store.
Yep.
The hate that place is getting is unreal. And it's like the city doesn't get to pick and choose who moves here.
And it just doesn't make sense because you look at our town and there's seven, I think now, maybe eight home developments either already started or going to start. So I'm just throwing out numbers here because I can't remember off the top of my head. Well, let's just say 1,000 homes. What are all them homes going to need? Furniture. But we don't need a furniture store.
And a few pairs of boots.
I saw somewhere recently there's 25,000 houses either started or planned in Wise County.
It's going to be chaos.
25,000.
Yeah, I think Wise County is the top five growingest county in the United States, or in Texas?
Top two.
Top two now?
It is the second, I believe, at this point. But crazy. It's a good thing Twisted X came in 2005 and not now.
Exactly.
Because you would have been vilified by the Facebook mob because you're not a grocery store.
Or you're not.
That's true.
Or you're not Chick-fil-A.
Or not H-E-B or Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's what they want. So. That's what they want. But that's funny you mentioned David's, because the boots that I currently have on is my second pair of the same boots, and I'm going to show them.
Let me step aside.
They just happen to be Twisted X boots. Those dudes right there.
Yep.
Those have seen some miles.
Well, these are the newer ones. So I bought a pair. No, and I buy them like this. What is this? What do you remember?
Bomber
what this
leather.
Is? Yep.
Yep.
So bomber leather?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It already looks kind of where it wore, if you will. But the last pair I bought was from David's. And then when they went out of business, I wore my other ones out, and I was like, and I was pissed. I mean, because I even thought about I even thought about getting them resold.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went up to NRS. Boom! They had the exact same. Yeah. Still had the same.
That's been one of our top sellers for years.
I freaking love this boot.
Yeah,
and I own probably, I don't know, six pair of boots, something like that. They're the most comfortable boots in the world.
Doc, in his notes that he puts on here while he's not here, are you a connoisseur of literature?
Not really.
Okay, so you wouldn't get the Shakespearean quote. Are you a mender of souls? Doc wrote it down when he was up here earlier with me, and he just laughed, and I'm like, dude, what is so funny? It's from Shakespeare.
Yeah,
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah, thanks, Doc. For sure.
Thanks for not being here.
Thanks a lot.
You know Doc, though, right? Like, even on a personal level.
Yeah, okay. Like, he's my doctor.
Professional. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're sorry about that.
So, we've had some very bizarre and...
intimate.
And helpful conversations at times. So, yeah, he knows more about me than he should.
So, what the hell is bomber leather?
It's just a brown... You know, like bomber jackets, that just that brown kind of...
Yeah, I know them, but I didn't know they were called that.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of fashion sense, man.
Yeah, it's just a leather that looks a little worn.
Okay. Yeah. So those, how old are those?
These are probably two, three years old.
Oh, okay. Like, so
these are my newer ones.
Do they look at the same as when you first got them, or more worn?
More.
Okay, so they wear, but then they also wear.
But this style, it's like the, it's almost like the, if you would just picture leather, but the backside of it.
Yeah.
It's like just
the unfinished side.
Yeah. There's no shine to it, which they look like a worn pair of boots.
Yeah, so you don't worry when you get your first scratch on them.
That's right. Or when I get cow shit on it. That's what they're supposed to be done.
There you go.
So, like, styles of boots, are there any that are just timeless that don't ever go out of style, or like, what's a feature on a boot that let's just talk about that. We'll go moving to the next question. What is timeless and what is trendy?
Yeah, well, you know, toe shapes change over the years. So, you know, when I came to NRS all those years ago, just that round J toe, the, you know, the Justin Roper, easiest way to describe it, toe. And then it got to this U toe. So it was a rounder, broader toe. And, you know, that was the thing that was blowing up. And I was like, I could never put that on my feet. My feet are going to look weird. But then I started wearing them and everything else looked weird. And then the square toe came around and it's just like, well, that looks funny. But then I started wearing it and now everything else looks funny.
As a square toe. So, was the square toe? I was under the impression that it was like an older style that was refreshed.
Everything
gets recycled.
Cycles. Yeah,
everything cycles.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing about boots. You can, Twisted X started, their whole thing was bright, colorful shafts. And, you know, they were really made for day working cowboys who were going to even tuck their pants into their boots. So they had the taller shafts, but bright colors and, you know, flash, a little bit of flash to it. And people still do that, but most people wear their boots over the shaft, and you never see it anymore. Right. But that's still what kind of gives it a little bit of personalization. I think when you know if you look at you know, go to a Western store and look at the shelves, and 90%+ of every boot you're going to see, there's some variant of brown on the foot.
Yeah,
but then the shaft has, you know, it has color, or it doesn't have color, or it has six row stitching, or it just has, you know, very monochromic stitching. And so that's what really gives it the personality more than anything is that shaft.
If I was a person that didn't speak a lot of English, had slightly browner skin, and the chosen style of boot that I had came to, like, a point like that.
Call it the Mexican style boot.
What do you call those?
Yeah,
I know what the slang.
The real pointed.
I know what the slang term is.
Yeah, the roach killer.
Yeah, that's it. And we're banned.
We
just offended all of the Mexicans.
Whatever, dude. They wear them with pride.
I know that. Yeah. I know. So what they?
I don't
is
know
there a more technical term?
If it is, I don't know it because it just, I've never dealt in those boots. But yeah, I see those and I'm baffled by them.
Twisted X is not a purveyor of the...
No, we do not have...
Wonder what the original make of those boots were. What were they? I mean, just to go into a stirrup very easily?
I think it was just something that was different.
Styling thing?
Bling?
Yeah, maybe.
Bling? Yeah.
You've seen the Mexican style boots and it's got a cobra on the front of it.
Oh yeah.
I think they're making fun of the pointed, but yeah.
Oh, probably. Yes, probably so. If it's a little overstated, I think it's a comedic act.
And you see a lot of the ladies' fashion boots that has what we're called the snip toe. So it's just a, you know, very short little flat piece but it's almost pointed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's popular in ladies' fashion and even in men's they have a French toe, which is a little bit or a lot narrower. But you don't see that.
I love
often.
The French boy. I love the French.
Do the French wear cowboy boots?
I don't know. I don't know how it got that name. I'll have to go do some research and get back to you.
French. Does the French wear boots?
Do the French wear cowboy boots? Yeah. I do like the square toe though. Like they, I hope they stay around because that to me that
they're not going anywhere.
They better not. They're really good with comfort. Like my toes fit nicely
I think
in there.
You're exactly right.
I've got a fatter foot, and I'm a 14 double D or double E.
Double
maybe
E, you wish.
Maybe
double
I'm a double
D's.
E. No, I'm even better.
Double
E.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Which is wide, right? The
yes.
E stands yes, for wide. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my size is a 14 double E.
Yep.
And yeah, the flat toed stuff fits me so much nicer than the anything with kind of a point.
I think your real cowboys, they make fun of the square toed people, but.
Is that a thing?
Most of them are. I think most of them are wearing square toes
now. Yeah.
Aha! They have succumbed to the
sort of like you and iPhones.
That was a long time ago, man. That was one of those things where it's like if you can't beat them, join them. I had to join them.
You did join us,
even though like now the big push is to go back to a dumb phone. Everybody talks about how nice it would be for a dumb phone.
Yes,
to be part of our lives instead of this thing that it's an extension of our body, right?
It
like,
is.
You can't do anything about it. Without it. Yeah, really.
That's why I said smartphones have made us dumber.
I think so.
Oh, I know so. Because, I mean, just on memory alone. Because, like, when I first got my phone, I could rattle off 14 different phone numbers. I can barely tell you my mother's phone number now. I don't know. Let me look. So I think it has, for sure.
We were talking about the manufacturing process, and there was a few questions that got brought up. What is a really important feature on a boot in the manufacturing or styling process that that goes unnoticed that people would have no idea is as important as a piece in that boot?
It's the shank and how the shank's made that's in the bottom.
Okay,
you know where your
no, you're
where your foot's laying. Most people aren't aware of that, and the importance of that towards comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you never see it, you never hear about it. So,
and support, right? Not just comfort, but support too.
Yeah.
You don't want your arches.
Right. So speaking of that, we had some, or homeboy had some boots made for his wedding and we had one guy
about the competition.
Yeah.
Again.
Competition. we had a guy that said he needed a thicker heel. Remember Dusty? He ordered his boot.
Oh yeah. Cause he's like his one leg shorter than the other or something.
So that's going to be more of your, special. It's just one.
Yeah, ours are just pretty much all the same.
Pretty much everything's the same.
Neighbors up north of here, their boot name starts with an F.
Yes.
Yeah. Might be the Italian mafia, might not. Nobody really knows.
Yeah,
nobody
knows. We're not asking.
No. Don't ask, don't tell on that.
If we don't make it back for next week's podcast, we said too much.
You guys.
That's cool.
So speaking of the manufacturing, can you get into details? Like how does, so I'm guessing all the stuff, is everything done here in Decatur? ship once the leather gets here? How does all
now,
that
now, now we're getting into dangerous territory.
Dangerous territory. Yes. Okay, that's okay. What I was thinking.
Yeah, so most leather sole boots are made in Mexico.
Yeah.
In Leon, Mexico.
Oh, we know people from Leon.
So
they've been on the show.
Yeah, I mean, they there's just more factories making boots down there than anywhere.
Yep.
And so, yeah, all the material, you know, a lot of the tanneries and stuff are down around Mexico. Yep. So that's where a lot of that product is. So now other rubber sole boots are made somewhere else.
Okay.
And we can dive into that if y'all want to. But
rubber soled boots?
Yeah. So like your boots with
work
with
boots,
rubber sole on it, or work boots, or any kind of rubber compound, polyurethane compound are going to be made
elsewhere.
Somewhere else.
Gotcha. Yep. I see that co-branding is now a big thing. Like everybody, every major manufacturer has their co-branding on their soles. Like you got Goodyear rubber, you've got Vibram rubber, you've got Michelin rubber on soles.
You almost said Michelin.
Michelin. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be French.
Yeah, you are freaking French.
Yeah, he made fun of me once because, did you ever watch Anthony Bourdain?
Yes.
Who also wore cowboy boots, who talked trash about them until he got a pair and then he wore them everywhere.
Yep.
But he says Michelin, so therefore I say Michelin.
No, he says Michelin.
Michelin. Okay, I'm trying to ride.
It's just Michelin.
I'm trying to balance
it's
it out.
Michelin, bro. We're from Texas.
That's like once I got in the footwear world. It's Adidas.
Adidas.
And I grew up with Adidas.
I was trying to figure what's he talking about.
What
Adidas?
Is that? Adidas?
Adidas. Yes.
Yeah. But they're a German company.
Oh yeah.
And so everybody in the footwear world says Adidas.
Adidas.
Really? Huh.
All day I dream about succeeding.
Yes.
Yes.
That's not what it stands for, but yes. That could be also. We could just call it Adidas. Yeah. Adidas, we are also looking for sponsors for the Whiskey Bros Around the Table. I'm just throwing that out there.
That's hilarious. What the hell Adidas. Were we even just talking about?
I don't know. Where were we going? Oh, what were we talking about? Dang it.
We were talking about places elsewhere. Yeah. In manufacturing. Is Twisted X global, national? Where do you distribute?
We're all over the U.S.
Okay.
And then we have distributors in Australia, Canada, and Germany.
Huh.
So working on a deal right now in the U.K. We've kind of started a deal in South America. It's a company that sells in duty-free stores.
Okay.
So we're trying that out.
Who buys more boots, French Canadians or English Canadians?
English Canadians.
Yeah,
I hope.
Okay. But.
So you said the Canadian word. So have y'all felt any of the T
how
word?
How sketchy is everything, right? Not just Canadian. Everybody's got a tariff.
Yeah, it's everywhere right now, and that we're as an importer bringing our boots in from other factories. That's we're talking about it daily. We've got an emergency meeting at 11 o'clock Monday morning to talk about tariffs and how we're going to handle added tariffs that have been
how do you
applied.
Even start with that? Because you have to set your MSRP, right? Mm-hmm. So how when you're selling and like God, man, this is going to be more than a day's worth of meetings, I'm sure.
It will be. And initially we worked with our supply chain, so several components in our supply chains from the factories to the freight companies to even our warehouse, third party logistics warehouse, agreed to eat a little bit of that expense. And we're eating a little bit of that expense, but with some of the added tariffs that came out, we've got to figure it out. And at some point we may have to, change our pricing. Mm-hmm. So, I was responding to someone on Facebook who responded to one of my comments just saying, you should know that it's the importing countries that pay the tariffs. And it's like, I know full well it's us that pays the tariffs.
The burden still falls back on us. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, if Mexico gets hit with tariffs of 25%, somebody's got to pay that.
Yeah.
Right. And I read an article earlier today, this guy supporting the tariffs and, saying Nike won't raise their prices because, that's going to hurt their stock value. Well, if they have to eat the tariffs, their profits are going to go down.
Yeah.
And that's going to hurt their stock value. So either way, everybody gets hit.
Yeah.
So
how does it work with, I know that's all importing, but if you're exporting into different countries, I know that Canada has some tariffs placed on us.
Yeah,
some. But is, Jesus Christ,
they, is it? Does it trickle into the leather and boots?
Yeah, I mean, it's are they going to order as much from us as they would have before?
Yeah.
Because now the product's more expensive because now there's a tariff for it coming in. So
this is all kind of just unexplored territory.
It is.
For you and a whole lot of other people in the industry.
We were, Prasad and I were talking about it last week. It was kind of like the beginning of COVID when we were just like, what do we do? And every day you were learning something new that you were having to react to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are today is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's reality now. Before it was like posturing and like, you know, just shaking your fist. It was threats and now it's a reality.
Yeah.
And I don't have a small business, so I really don't have a pot to piss in here. But is I'm guessing this is a.
You still have to buy things.
Well, yeah, but is this it's got to get way worse before it gets better type thing? Is it going to bring stuff back to America? Are we going to piss off? Because I'm guessing the reason why we do business overseas is because it's just cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. Free trade. Yeah, it's cheaper.
So is all this tariff stuff? Are we finally just, because now that everything's come out, every country, we're paying out the wazoo for stuff.
Yes. They
milk, everything we buy.
Most countries have had some sort of tariffs imposed on our exports, yeah, right? Right?
Yes. And the thing that I've seen is it's not a little tariff.
Well,
it's huge.
Yeah, it depends on the country, I guess.
Right. Well, they sent a list of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it was outrageous on the stuff that we're paying.
There was one that was like 100%.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say this could get me in trouble with a lot of people, but you know, the math on that poster he put up wasn't good math.
Right.
So it wasn't truly what the tariffs were.
Right.
But you know, just like footwear, we've had tariffs on our footwear that we've brought in from other countries for years.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just more.
Right.
And so tariffs, we've imposed tariffs and people, you know, obviously have been imposing tariffs on us.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I understand the challenge with the trade deficit and why that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know this scorched earth policy we've taken is the best way to do that. But, you know, the old no pain, no gain.
How are tariffs collected? I know there's an implementation of the ERS, External Revenue Service, that's supposed to be starting up. But as somebody that deals with goods and services and importing and exporting, how do you pay?
Yeah, now when it comes to the port or when it crosses one of the borders, the custom it goes through customs, and the tariff gets applied at that time. Everything has what they call HTS codes. I don't know what HTS stands for, but it's the code that's applied to every product.
Uh-huh.
And just like our footwear, some of our product has more textile fabric covering, some has more leather, some has a combination of both. And there's gazillions of HTS codes. That's overstatement, but hundreds of HTS codes that apply to our products.
Oh, wow.
But when that comes to the port, they check it. They check all the product in, and then the customs service gives us what we're paying in tariffs.
Yeah, because the only thing that I wish that comes out of all this, which it might not have anything to do with it, is I hope it brings it back to home. Because, like, for instance, milk.
Oh, you like manufacturing America?
Why do we need to buy milk from Canada or anywhere else at that point?
I'm guessing originally a lot of these are just trade agreements, just good old friendly trade agreements. Like, hey, we need something that we don't produce in this nation. Your nation can do it, and at this price. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an economist, but I'm guessing it was just simple trade agreements.
And I can't speak to every industry, but I know in the footwear industry, you know, in the 70s, there was a lot of production here, but it all started offshoring because it was just so expensive. And it's, you know, I always go back to the simple thing of we all want to make more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our company pays us more money. Well, how do they pay us more money? They have to generate more revenue or reduce expenses.
Somewhere.
Yeah. And so, you know, footwear moved offshore back in the 70s, for the most part. There's still a little bit in the U.S., but not much at all. Well, to get that all back in America is probably going to be a 10 to 15-year process.
Mm-hmm.
Based me listening to footwear experts, by the time you get the factories, the infrastructure, and then all the ancillary companies that you've got to have to supply everything, then you've got your EPA rules when you're dealing with leather that you've got to change.
Yeah.
And so
Yeah.
You know, the idea that that could happen quickly is a fallacy.
And that's how you know.
In footwear.
Yeah. Well, just in footwear, that's how you know we're really screwed, because we got 4 years and then the next guy's going to change and go this way. That's what's so crazy.
So a lot of it, well, one, to cheapen up cost and production. The other is, to some of it, I'm guessing, to an extent, to negate regulation, like to skirt around that too. When you mentioned EPA,
other countries aren't as tight on some regulations as we've been.
Yeah.
And so, you know, right or wrong, I mean, there's things that go on in the tanning process of leather that isn't the healthiest.
So we learned about that with Virgil Leather, who was on a couple episodes ago, who you are also a part of.
Right? I am.
Yeah. Okay,
right. I hang with those guys.
They made this glorious cap for us.
Are you Garrett's boss?
No. No, I'm just the silent partner.
Okay, gotcha.
Nice.
How long have you been involved with Virgil Leather?
A little over a year.
Yeah.
So
they gave us some info about tanning leather that was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, third world countries use urine. And I forget what he called it, but it's literally just human's urine.
Peeing on the leather.
peeing on the skin to make leather.
There's a lot of different ways to do it, and it's not a job I would want.
No. Okay. No. But it was cool to go down that whole road of different leathers. Like, I didn't like frog.
Mm-hmm.
You take your frog leather and then
all the different hides you can use.
Yeah. It was awesome talking though. But
I don't think we did ask them, is there any human leather out there? You know, there's some cannibal country,
yeah,
so
I don't think so.
I've seen some.
There is people. Vegan leather.
We did talk about that.
Yeah, well, we did.
Okay, so that's a good segue. Does vegan leather come into the play with Twisted X
footwear?
Not vegan leather.
Okay,
but I will say Twisted X. And this is how I've introduced Twisted X in some financial groups. I go into, and you know, I'm CFO of Twisted X. We're a company that cares about people and the planet, and we make shoes to fulfill our passion.
Okay, how does that work?
So planet is a big deal to us.
Yeah.
And Prasad, you know, is dead set on the idea of, I want to leave the world a better place for my kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. So several years ago, we just really started focusing on finding ways to use upcycled, recycled materials in our footwear. The first big thing we did was we found a supplier that recycled plastic water bottles into fabric materials. And I you'd be blown away by how soft this fabric can be.
These guys right here.
Yes. So we have upcycled over 8 million water bottles to put into our shoes.
That's like what, 2 days worth?
I was going to say, what's sad is that's like 2 days worth in the United States.
And I've actually got some material now that Prasad brought, that a local restaurant that found out about what we do said, hey, I want napkins made out of recycled plastic water bottles that I can wash and I don't have to throw away and buy new.
That's crazy.
All that. So that really kicked it off. And then we use recycled bamboo and laces. Yeah. We use recycled rice husk and some of the outsoles for footwear. And then we partnered just a few years ago with a guy who figured out he could take all the scraps in the factories, whether it was rubber, polyurethane, leather, whatever it was. He could take that scrap material and say it's rubber. He could mix in 15% new rubber with that and create a reconstituted rubber. Same thing with leather. He has to do, I think, 20% new leather.
Mm-hmm.
And so he reconstitutes that scrap that's fixing to go into a landfill into a product that we use a lot of that in our shafts.
Interesting.
Wow.
So today, and then all of our outsoles today are made with this blended material. Mm-hmm. So every product we sell today has some component of
that's been recycled.
Upcycled, recycled.
Yeah.
And some shoes have a high percentage of that.
Do y'all advertise that? Is that a market mover?
Yeah. I mean, we promote that a lot. And you know, it hasn't been a big deal in the Western. I mean, Western's still our core.
Yeah.
But I was talking to a guy I know. I actually took him this one shoe that we have made that every component in it is environmentally friendly. We don't use any glues, anything like that. We have a patented stitching process that we use for that. And I took it to him, you know, and I go in his house and Fox News is on the TV and, you know, very conservative thinking guy. And, you know, he's telling me about his grandfather, who's a cattle rancher, and, you know, very proud of his heritage and coming from that background. And then finally we got around to the shoe, and he said, so how do you market these to the greenies? And I said, can I get your grandfather's phone number?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, what do you mean? And I said, tell me he's not worried about the water or the grass and what's on or in both of those if he's running a cattle herd. And I said, I'm looking at your place right now, and you got high-dollar horses sitting out there. Tell me you're not worried about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just like, well, I'll be damned. And I said, you're my greenie.
Yeah.
Hunters and fishermen.
Yeah, conservationists. Yeah.
And so, you know, these left-wing AOC and her band get a hold of that, and it gives it a bad name.
Oh, yeah.
But we're all conservationists, and that's just what we're doing. And so our marketing deal has been love of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we want to take care of the land. And
yeah, it's you that are the doers.
Yeah.
And it's those people in that realm that are just the whiners.
Mm.
And that's all they're doing.
It's the Facebookers.
Just whining and bitching.
So we have a high focus. We don't use any single-use plastics in our office when we have our big dinners, a Christmas dinner and our big sales meeting dinner twice a year at convention center. You know, we use metal forks and real glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, sorry, we served you water in a plastic bottle. Could you take these and upcycle them, please?
Well, we can just cut them off and put a strap around them and wear them.
There you go.
But in terms of timelines, these are still within a couple of decades of being a reality. Like 25 years ago, plastic water bottles were not as available as they are.
Right.
And I still remember glass Gatorade bottles.
Yeah.
On the shelf. And then suddenly it's like water has become this commodity that seems taboo to drink it out of anything other than a plastic freaking bottle.
Well, but have you heard the company Liquid Death?
It's an aluminum can.
In the cans. And then
marketing.
And then there's, you know, companies that are making, you know, paper containers, like milk containers.
Yeah, I see. Which, I'm just trying to remember the name.
I've recently heard that those probably contain some plastics, but
yeah.
You know, the danger. I mean, you hear a lot of these health guys now that are especially on the Make America Healthy Again talking about all the microplastics we've been ingesting years.
Yep. I couldn't imagine the water out of the carton, because have you ever tried to drink out of a paper straw?
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
There's something about the mouthfeel too.
And maybe that's what it is. It's almost like cardboard in your mouth.
It's a different feel, but you know, at the end of the day, what are we doing to
putting water in
the planet?
Every generation is like our parents or grandparents had lead contaminants. And we're all filled with microplastics.
Yes.
So what's Gen Z going to have?
Apparently we're going to die of something.
Yeah. Yes. It's like, you can't get away from this.
Which is why I drink my mezcal out of the glass.
That's bound to be killing
some stuff.
Mm. What was sad is like the whiskey in the spirit world, the stuff that is, you know, essentially toxic for us is probably more pure than any kind of soda or anything that you're getting. Like, I know what the ingredients are in this water, grain, and some sugars.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it.
What's in that water? Yeah. Read the ingredients out of that thing.
Plastic.
Water
and plastic. Oh, no. There is calcium chloride and sodium bicarbonate. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have preservatives in water, huh?
Yep, you do.
You have to preserve water.
You know how much water I drunk out of our water hose?
Oh, dude.
Oh, isn't that the truth as a kid?
I know.
I mean, that was just the way to do it.
That's the only way you could get water, because once mom kicked you out of the house after breakfast, you're not coming back in till lunchtime.
You were too dirty to come inside.
That's right.
That was the precursor to microplastics, though, because I guarantee you could taste the funk in the water hose when you were drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Those things just sat out in the sun.
Sat out in the sun and
all day long.
You had to run the hose about 15 minutes to get
just
it cool.
Just to get it to cool off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those days. I still drink from a hose, though.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Get your belly full really quick.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that's how we're focused on the planet. And then I mentioned people. So one of the cool things about working at Twisted X, I mean, last year we donated over $670,000 to philanthropic causes that are important to us, and then donated over almost 25,000 pair of shoes to disaster relief.
Okay.
Yeah, didn't y'all give a bunch to the wildfires?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember that.
And that's just something, again, Prasad has just kind of baked that into the DNA. So, this is one of the most crazy, astounding things to me. So Prasad's from India, came over here when he was 18, got his citizenship when he was 20, When he walked out of the courtroom, a lady with a VFW vest handed him an American flag and said, "Welcome home."
Mm.
In his mind, he's like, "I'm going to do something for those people one day."
Yeah.
He has raised money and donated money, so much money, to VFW, our Veterans of Foreign Wars. Mm-hmm. He's now on the board.
Holy cow.
The national board of VFW.
That's awesome.
So we give a lot of money there. There's a counseling center in town here, the Center for Emotional Wellness, that he has donated money for veterans and first responders that they can go for free. You know, there's been a stigma of, especially first responder, you know, if they've got mental health issues, it's like, oh, do we want them on the job? And so they didn't want to put on insurance. That's a whole lot better in Wise County today than it was. But he's donated money so they could go for free. And then he also donated to the same center, or pledged $1.2 million over 5 years to start a counseling program for people going through cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Western industry, Tough Enough to Wear Pink is the breast cancer awareness. So it's Tough Enough to Wear Pink counseling program, but it's anybody dealing with any kind of cancer or their family can go get therapy and go through a 12-week course of, you know, here's things you're going to be dealing with at no charge.
Oh, wow. That's
so awesome. And then we work with One Tribe, which is a group out of Hearst now, that's a veterans deal. We work with the Navy SEAL Danny Dietz Foundation, which, if I'll just throw in a quick plug, if anybody's around Memorial Day weekend on Friday night, they're going to have their big gala out at the NRS Arena.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw the movie Lone Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Danny Dietz was one of the SEALs killed on that mission, Operations Red Wing, and this is the 20th anniversary of that. So it's going to be a really cool event.
Is he the one that made the phone call? Is it Danny? Or there was one more that I know the name. They have the maybe Danny's the one that they do the CrossFit thing. I don't remember. There's like three of them that I can remember, but go on about that.
Yeah. It's a great organization. Again, raising money, giving money back to veterans, first responders, and even caregivers of veterans and first responders. So we're just Children's Advocacy Center, if you're familiar with that, here in Wise County.
Yeah.
It's help working with kids that are victims of, you know, felony abuse. And it's just crazy to watch Prasad. I mean, so the counseling center here is run by this beautiful woman. She's my wife, Kelly. And Kelly brought three first responders over to just thank Prasad and tell him, you know, what it meant to have that available to him. And Steve Stanford, chief of police over in Bridgeport, you know, spoke up finally. It was the first one to kind of speak up after all the chit chat and said, "Prasad, we wanted to come thank," and he got thanked out, and Prasad just put up his hand and said, "We're here to thank you."
Yeah.
He said, "I wrote a check with some zeros on it. Y'all write blank checks every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're here to thank you." And it's just that kind of mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's really cool to work there and be a part of that, knowing that, you know, we deal with all the crap that anybody deals with in a corporate business all the time, and, you know, fighting tariffs and personalities and whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, to know that we're giving so much money back to people who have done so much for us, or who are afflicted by things that most of us never want to imagine, and try to make their lives better.
Mm. And like pretty cool. Where it's really counts and where it's tangible, it's local. Yeah. So it's hands on. You can see the effects and have it reported to you. Sounds like Prasad's the real deal.
Yeah.
Is he going to listen to the show?
I don't know. I'll have to tell him about it.
So yeah, he's definitely out there supporting his brand for sure.
Yeah. I've met him once, and that was at when they donated a tree at the conference center.
Yeah. That was part of our taking, you know, environmentally friendly thing.
I have not met Prasad.
Yep.
I'll have to change that.
Right.
Does he imbibe?
Cabernets.
Okay. All right. So he's a wine now. All right. We can drink some wine.
That's right.
Do like a good cab. That's really cool, man. He's like a man of his community.
He is. I mean, he believes in helping other people. So.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, makes it fun to walk in every day and know that we're doing something to help other people that day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we're making shoes. Cool shoes.
And we're making shoes.
That are comfortable.
Literally making the earth move.
That's right.
I want to talk about like Western wear in the last 10 years and the 10 years to come. Like how have you seen, being in the industry, how have you seen it change in the last decade? And
yeah, you know, it used to be all of us used to wear Wrangler 13 MWZs, right? I mean, that was just what you wore.
Well, you say that. I don't know what that is.
Well, I mean, it's just the Wrangler jean that everybody wore forever.
I have
blue denim jeans.
If you would walk into a Western store and it was this way at David's back in the day, it's what lined all the back shelves because it's just what everybody had to wear. So David wanted you to go to the very back of the store, so you had to walk through everything else to get back. But, you know, now jeans have just evolved into, you know, just all these different brands, all these different styles.
Jeans.
And, yeah. And, you know, now Wrangler's making a stretchy jean.
I wish Ghost Bro was here because he's got a pair of jeans that we just
don't even understand. I don't know what that is.
They're jeans that men should not wear.
I think they're bedazzled. They got the on the back pocket.
It's like a Maltese cross on the back pocket. And then it's got some shiny stuff on it. And he wears them proudly.
Oh, yeah.
He's not gay either.
No.
Like he's married with two kids, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're different strokes for
different
strokes.
That's right. He likes them.
Yeah, even in, you know, in men's shirting, it's gone from the old Wrangler heavy, you know, kind of heavy, thick brush popper shirt as the standard to, you know, then the Brooks and Dunn stuff came out with the flames and that, the Panhandle Slim made. And, you know, now everybody.
God, that takes me way back to the Mo Beta from the Garth Brooks era.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember those shirts?
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised those haven't come back full circle.
So we've got one guy at work that goes and finds those and wears them to work periodically. It's awesome. It is awesome. But yeah, you've just seen it become more of fashion, more comfort, you know, new materials. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, now Poncho and everybody else are doing Western cut fishing shirts and
The fishing shirts that have the little breeze pocket in the back.
I mean,
I tell you, dude, I'd have my fashion sense is if I'm wearing pants or cargo pants or they're Levi's 550s.
Yep.
So that was it for me. So when you said Wrangler such and such, I was like, dude, what is that? I don't know.
Well, it was the Levi, the 501 button fly that everybody wore for a while. And so there's just been this expansion of certainly different materials that are more comfortable. And same thing in the ladies' fashion. I mean, you've seen it kind of grow out and become real more mainstream in a lot of ways. You still see some pretty Western stuff, but you see more mainstream. And then, I mean, if you walk in NRS today, you know, they've got Fry boots, which were really coming out more of mainstream. They got the Hey Dudes that are coming out of mainstream. They've got different things that aren't just the old Western brands.
Because Hey Dudes
was another thing that I mocked, and now
they're glorious.
I am.
Have they joined them? Have they ventured into the? Because I know they're making.
I'm not going to speak about Hey Dudes.
Oh, okay.
Some fierce competition, I guess.
Oh,
dang! Shots fired.
Well, I can tell you what I think, but you know, it would be combative.
Yeah. The only reason why
I'll tell you what I think. They're comfortable, but mine were worn out in 4 months. Like the soles were gone.
No.
Yeah. And they're built to wear and replace, wear and replace.
Right.
Wear.
Built to be a house shoe. Let's be honest. They're a house shoe.
They're up one step up from Crocs.
We are all slowly becoming
lazy?
The dude from the Big Lebowski. We're all slowly becoming people that are just going to wear house shoes and a robe.
So this is my Twisted X.
Okay.
It's got the little blue thing here, so you know it's got cell stretch in it.
Yep.
You know, it's just a wedge sole, comfortable. Actually wore this outsole out fishing in Cabo because it's a non-slip outsole. And I just turned 60 recently, so I've gone to the slip-on.
Yeah.
And, you know, just something that's easy to get in. But, I mean,
God dang,
it's comfortable.
Are you a size 14 too?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, I'll let you try this on when we're done.
I'm glad to know that the CFO is a size 14, and you're probably what, 6'5"?
6'6".
6'6". Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry I underestimated you.
That's all right.
But that's good to know because I know that I should always be able to find a size in Twisted X.
Yeah, we've
footwear.
We've got the wides. We've got double E's. So.
Okay. Big fat feet.
What is the biggest shoe y'all go up to? Do you know?
I believe a 16.
Good God.
I don't know if we do a double E in a 16, but we do in 15s.
Do you have any endorsements from celebrities or people that are high up there that need you, you know, NBA stars that wear
like
size
Shaq.
8? Like size.
We actually have a Shaq size shoe in that original driving mock that it's just a display. We don't sell it, but. Yeah, our only endorsees right now are Shad Mayfield and Brittany Spears. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if you want to be associated with her at the moment.
No. All of a sudden, my mind just went blank.
It happens.
Yeah, rodeo people.
Okay.
Yeah. Shelby Boys Jolie.
Interesting.
She's a tie down roper, Shad, or she's a breakaway roper. Shad's a tie down roper.
Mm-hmm.
Both world champions. So
nice.
What size shoe does Shaq wear?
It's like a 27 or 2 or something.
Good God.
20 something for sure. Yeah.
But I saw when he was here in Paradise, like mm-hmm. we have friends that I know their size and some like Carson. Carson's as tall as I am. And he looked like a baby from Shaq. Yeah, it's unreal,
big man.
One of the oddest moments I ever had, I don't know if you remember Sean Bradley that played for the Mavericks, but I got to go to a Mavericks game and stand out on the court one time before a game, and Sean Bradley was standing a foot away from me, a foot taller than me.
Oh, yep. My God.
Like, this is so odd.
That's unusual for you to have to look up to somebody, right?
Yeah, it was odd.
And he's also the size of that cable right there.
Exactly.
Was he lanky?
Exactly. Oh, he was, boy.
Yeah.
I can remember when the Mavs first got him, man, we were excited, and me and my best friend was watching it, and he went up to dunk and just laid out on the floor. He was just so tall, and he looked like a giraffe almost. Bradley.
Where's it heading the next 10 years?
Boy, isn't that a great question.
You can have a sip of that. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, that's all right. You know, if I knew the answer to that, I'd write a book. But, you know, I think we're going to continue to see it evolve, again, more as different materials come out, not necessarily styling. I think the styling will still stay somewhat true to the Western heritage. You know, Western seems to kind of go through these cycles. I mean, Urban Cowboy back in the day, and Western blew up, and then it, you know, kind of went down, and Yellowstone has certainly brought a revival. I honestly think COVID was a good thing for Western because we kind of got back to our roots a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't doing all the stuff. We weren't go, go, go. And even people, you know, outside of Texas, poor folks. Yeah, feel for them. But, you know, people all around the country, I think, really started appreciating, you know, they started fishing more. They started camping more. Getting outside more. Mm-hmm. And I think there was appreciation for that lifestyle, which a lot of that embodies Western. And then, of course, when Yellowstone came out, it's, you know, the romance of the West.
Yeah.
Everybody has it.
And the, no shit attitude, too.
Yeah.
Like, you're fierce and independent and rugged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a lot of that attitude that really made this country. I mean, even in the very beginning.
Definitely.
And it wasn't like people showed up, you know, on those boats, and there was, you know, people, nice kitchens and air conditioned houses. I mean, it was rough.
Yeah, they had to.
I can't imagine going back 100 years and living.
We talk about that more often than not on here. Like, just how did people live in this region without air conditioning?
Yeah,
like, and work, not just live.
Yes.
You know, work.
Well, not even work. Survive.
Survive. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Could you imagine making boots without an air conditioning environment?
Without machinery too to do it. It was all that was your machines.
Well, you know, when I was in high school and early college, I worked for Coca-Cola in the summers on delivery routes, and so you're out all day hauling Cokes, hauling those big containers. Great job, paid me well, helped pay for a lot of my college expenses. But all the guys there told me, don't forget what it's like working here in the summer. It's just as bad in the winter. Get your degree. and you know, they were just adamant about that.
Yeah.
And I spent good advice.
6 years working on docks at Roadway, loading trucks and trailers.
Yeah.
An open, un-air conditioned docks. And it was after 6 months of that, I was like, I'm going to go to college. Yeah, I'm going to do something. I didn't finish college. <I didn't.
laughs> So, in do y'all in your sales, do you feel like is it more the Western style or more of the shoe, if you will, that y'all see in right now?
It's, I mean, like I said, right now our work product is our biggest seller.
Okay.
Casual's second biggest seller, and Western's third.
Okay,
but Western has grown tremendously over the last year because we have that comfort technology in there now. My beliefs is, you know, Ariat came out with a comfort technology 25 or so years ago. It took 4 or 5 years for that to really catch on. One, they had a rubber sole, and anybody who rode horses was like, I'm not putting a rubber sole in a stirrup. And they addressed that, and that just that kind of blew up. And I mean, now they're really the big boys in that Western boot space. But I think, and I've told Prasad this, I believe that what we have in comfort technology will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And in 20 years from now, we're going to have a big shelf space in the Western boot market because comfort matters.
Yeah, it does.
So, but and still our core customer base is still Western. I mean, Boot Barn's right. our biggest customer. Cavender's is our second biggest. NRS here in town is one of our top 10 and, you know, a great partner of ours. Mm-hmm. But we are branching out. We're in Dillard's. We're mm-hmm. in Zappos platform. We're in Shields. We're in Bass Pro with our Snake Boot and some other stuff.
Western wear in Dillard's?
Yeah. Well, our casual shoes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't even know Dillard's was still.
Dude, it's still, it is still a thing.
It is still
the
thing.
The mall in Denton still has a Dillard's. Yeah. I was just in San Angelo and Abilene. They both have malls, which both have Dillard's. Yeah, so yeah. I'm still thrilled. Yeah, they're still
very,
alive.
They're very solid. Retailer.
Yeah. So, I remember when I was younger, I mean, we went there all the time.
We went to the mall, period. Yeah, the mall sure, was yeah. an event. That's yeah, where you went.
You spent the entire Saturday there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, figured out where you want to eat in the food court.
Yeah.
Hang out all day.
They still exist. They're still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're kind of coming back. I don't know.
You think?
I think so. I see everyone I've been to is packed with people.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Mall of America?
That's way up in Minneapolis. No.
Have you been there?
I have.
That thing's insane.
It is.
Like,
it's crazy.
It blew, like, we had a buddy that lived up there, and we went and played golf. And he said, I'm going to take you guys, or you guys see this place. And I was like, oh, okay, it's big. He goes, no, it's huge.
Yeah.
But even after he was explaining how big it was, once I walked into this joint, I was still, it's got a freaking Six Flags, basically, in the center of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's an entire amusement park. Mm-hmm. It blew my mind. And we didn't even see all of it. Hmm. We walked for like an hour, and he was like, let's go.
Yeah,
it is
crazy.
It's insane, and it's a weird place.
What do you mean it's a weird place?
No, it's in a weird place.
What do you mean it's in Minnesota? A weird place? Oh, there's people that live in Minnesota.
It's cold. Like
they want to get out of the cold weather into
I guess
the mall.
That's true.
That's
yeah, I
guess it's indoors.
It's a big place. It's warm there.
You can spend 2 days in that mall. It's crazy.
We talked a little bit about. The representation of an imagery of boots being about resilience and rebelling and the tough as nails type crowd. But are there people that celebrities, influencers, whatever, that have kind of surprised you by the fact that they actually wear boots? Is there anybody that you've known in your life, not even known, but in your personal life or professional or outside of that, that has like shocked you that they wear boots?
Well, you know, I mean, right now it's, again, can't think of the singer's name. She's got the Cowboy Carter album, Beyonce.
Beyonce.
You know, is just all about boots. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, you see more and more people wearing boots. We have another line of boots called Black Star Boots. It's a ladies' fashion mm-hmm. line. And I never saw I didn't watch Game of Thrones, but apparently the Queen of the North on Game of Thrones was photographed in some of our Black Star boots.
Oh. Yeah.
And, you know, we just... Didn't call and ask for a free pair or anything. It's just what she was wearing.
Yeah,
and nice. So we do every now and then we see people, you know, wearing our boots. It's
that's
like,
cool.
Hey, that's cool.
That's gotta be really rewarding too.
Yeah.
Like there's always been a stigma about cowboy boots, right? Like they're not cowboy boots. You don't have to kick shit. You don't have to ride a horse. You don't have to be in law enforcement. That was the biggest quote for a while. Like if you're going out for an event, if you're wearing boots, the only reason better be because you're a cattleman or a law enforcement, a Texas State Texas State Trooper. That better be the only reason you're wearing boots. Like, that's such a bullshit stigma. And
yeah.
I think that was, who knows, a few decades back.
Mm-hmm.
But, the ultimate goal is to have the cowboy boot, or there I go again, the boot being as commonplace as the tennis shoe.
Yeah, I went to a black tie ball mm-hmm. recently over in Frisco and, you know, probably saw, I don't know, 10 or 12 different guys that don't look cowboy at all,
right.
but they had on boots. And, you know, people have found that they can buy boots that are comfortable, that they like. And
they look good.
They look just as good as some of their other dress shoes.
Loafers.
Yeah.
And sometimes built better.
Like, I've got a pair of dress shoes that I don't think I've worn in 15 years. Because if I'm going out, I usually put on my boots.
But you keep them in the closet.
Yeah, well, they have their reason, I guess. That some, if you've, well, do they? I don't know.
Do they?
I'm trying to think of the last reason I had to put them on. I think it was because I was in a wedding and I was a groomsman and it was the attire, like what he wanted for the groomsman's outfit.
Yeah, I've got two pair of dress shoes just in case.
Yeah.
I've got one suit just in case. Mm-hmm. But everything else I have are, you know, just slacks and sport coats if I've got to dress up. And I mean, I'm always, like I said, people won't recognize me, so I've got to do this.
Yeah.
I do have my hat with me. I went to our warehouse one time over in Coppell, and I was just wearing a ball cap, and one of the guys that I work with on a consistent basis does
you,
a
sir?
Double take. It was just like, oh, I didn't recognize you. But, you know, I mean, I wear my hat to all the events. And
it's a nice hat, too.
You're 6 foot six. There's no way you're wearing that while you're driving, right?
No, I have to take it off while
I'm driving.
Okay,
making sure you have a modified vehicle if you're wearing that while you're driving.
No, if I open the sunroof, I can. But, and this is my I call it my fun Friday hat, but since I was coming over here, it's my fun Sunday hat.
It's a little furry.
It's called a grizzly.
A grizzly.
So so this is kind of how the bodies come, and then they sand them down to make them the nicer hats that you see.
Can we touch it?
You can.
You're supposed to just touch another man's hat.
It might bite. So
is that made from grizzly hide?
No.
Okay.
No, it's still beaver. And
okay.
That one's beaver and some felt.
I'll be damned.
And then normally all the hats I wear, I have a bound edge, so it has a little piece of fabric that goes around there, just because I think it dresses it up a little bit more.
It's a styling piece. Then
it is.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It's called the Grizzly.
This one is, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Who makes that?
This one's an American hat.
Okay.
Based up in Bowie.
I was trying to remember I think there's another term for that when you it's not long hair, but like that style of leather, because you know most leather hats like that are smooth. They've been shaved down, and this is, I don't remember what they called. They said that. We were talking to somebody, and it might have been Garrett that was telling me. I don't remember.
Oh no,
I wouldn't believe anything Garrett tells.
Well, you know. Yeah. Well, that's why I'm not remembering, because half the stuff he says, it just goes.
Yeah, we were talking about finishings of leather, and the horse hide, like the really really shiny, and now I can't remember what it was called. It was the ass end of the horse. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think his cell phone holder was made from it.
Oh, it was, yeah. It's very shiny, very polished, and smooth.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, and I can't remember either at the moment.
But he did tell us, like, this is the ass of the horse.
Yep.
Always good to know. Something you don't want to put in your mouth.
No, not the ass.
You ever, like, run up against any misconceptions of boot manufacturing or people that wear boots? And
We've got ostrich skin boots, and there's, you know, a lot of other companies have the different exotics, and even just leather. I mean, you know, PETA is always out there making their stance against what we do.
I'm gonna guess the members of PETA have never handled an ostrich.
Probably not.
If you did, you wouldn't want to make leather of it immediately.
Make a pair of boots of that thing.
Make several pairs. Yeah, why can't we have ostrich boots but not chicken?
It's not enough. Well, you had to put a bunch of chicken together, I guess.
Well, it's kind of like the frog. It's like, how many frogs does it take to make my 14 size 14
well,
boots?
I don't know. Did he say a boot? I think it was a wallet.
We've done some frog skin in the past.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Is it just stitched together?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But there's some huge frogs that it comes from.
Oh, yeah. There are large frogs. Yeah. Chicken boots just don't sound cool, though.
Like, you got chicken boots.
Chicken skin boots.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to wear those.
No, that doesn't sound redeeming at all.
Oh, chicken
skin. You know, a snake sounds like, you know, there was something that went into that. Yeah. You know, it had to risk your life. And then, you know, same thing with... Even an ostrich, they're kind of crazy.
Yeah, they are.
But a chicken? Nah, I don't think so.
What is the most exotic pair of boots that y'all make?
The full quill ostrich for us.
Okay.
So just because as you get into the other exotics, the prices just keep going up, and that gets above our normal price point.
Is there like entry level exotic, or is it like once you hit the exotic term, everything's expensive?
Yeah, everything's comes with a price. So. Okay.
What is the most expensive pair of boots that Twisted X has on the shelf?
At retail, it'll be $499.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cheap.
Pales in comparison to some exotic custom stuff that I've seen out there. You're like into the, like,
Oh, thousand.
Oh, yeah, multiple yeah. thousand.
Easy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Entry level boot prices.
For a Western boot, I mean, we've got an entry level at retail that should be somewhere around 129 or 149.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what we do with that is we actually have a textile shaft. So it's a cloth shaft, still has the, you know, the leather inside, and it's designed so it looks like it's stitched just like a leather boot. And from me to you, you wouldn't know it was textile.
Mm.
So until you hold it. Hmm. But it's lighter. It's a little bit cooler. We're putting in a lot of our work product mm-hmm. because people are really liking having that lighter, cooler product on the shaft.
Yeah.
And then leather. So that's kind of our entry point.
Okay.
What is this boot I have on?
It's all leather. Oh, at retail?
Yeah. No, I know what it is. I bought them. Okay. I know what it is. But so when you say... what'd you say, textile or not?
Yeah, so on the shaft,
yeah,
where the blue is, we're doing textile in that, and we could still have that pattern on there. And like I said, from, you know, just 3 or 4 feet away, you can't really tell it's textile, but it's light, it makes the boot lighter and cooler
and a little bit less expensive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the most comfortable boots. I'm not saying that because you're here. I wear these boots more than any boot.
Now, for the past 5 or 6 years, every pair that I bought has been Twisted X.
Yeah, they are. I don't know what you guys are doing on that comfortability thing, but it's working because, I mean, I'm telling you, it's a huge difference.
Yeah, I'd love to get you in a pair of ours that has the cell stretch comfort technology, mm-hmm. let you feel that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that for sure.
It is a game changer. When they first came out, they were telling me about it. And of course, sample sizes aren't 14, so mm-hmm. I had to wait. But it's just like the slip-on. It's got that cell stretch in there.
Yeah.
And as much as I love to wear boots, I find myself a lot of mornings just putting these on because
oh yeah,
they are so comfortable.
Well, I had the pair, what I was telling you, with the window on the bottom of it, but it wasn't a slip-on. It was basically this one step up, kind of come up the ankles and had to lace it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I wore those things out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, wore them out.
I know there possibly is a way to get cheaper boots, right? Maybe.
There's always a way.
Okay, so, but not everything is accepted onto the shelf. Are there rejects or seconds or whatever that you can get?
Not with us. I mean, we don't sell anything that doesn't pass our QA
check.
Okay, it just gets discarded yes. and started mm-hmm. and yeah. started again.
And our defect rate is one of the lowest in the industry.
Wow. So I was wrong then.
Yeah.
Okay. So if it doesn't pass, it doesn't leave.
Right.
It doesn't leave the warehouse
yeah.
or distribution or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Manufacturing.
And we still have some that go out. We had a Western boot that went out that we had a lot of problems with separation
mm-hmm.
From the sole and the vamp, and we've got that fixed. But still. Based on, you know, number of pair we ship compared to what we get, that there is a defect problem less than 1%.
So, oh, that's wow. astonishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many pair over all your products, how many pair are being manufactured every year?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, we sell about 1.7 million.
Wow.
Last year.
Okay.
So that's how many went out. We produced more than that. So, I need to go figure out what that number is.
That's pretty cool though. That's a big number.
Yeah.
For a brand that's just a little over 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little company out of Decatur.
Yeah.
Mm. That's crazy.
So it's always interesting to me because I find these people who want to, like, I'm going to this treasury management conference and our bank is having me come down to speak at this conference. And I'm like, I'm a little CFO of a, you know, a little Western company in Decatur, Texas. But, you know, I'm big on technology. I mean, I'm always trying to find ways to use technology. I rather pay people to use their brains and their fingers is my common phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we continue to make an impact in our world. Mm-hmm. So it's really a cool deal.
How is technology shaping or changing the manufacturing, distributing, marketing process of being in this industry?
Yeah, you know, it changes everything, right? Mm-hmm. So I know on the manufacturing side, even though I'm not as involved in that because we don't own the factories, but you know, using technology, using ways of taking people and again leveraging their minds, not their fingers, mm-hmm. is going to continue to be a big deal. certainly within our office. I mean, we're very focused on, you know, how do we use data analytics to be smarter about what we're doing. And so from our sales team to my accounting team to the logistics team, we're using data all the time to how do we get better? How do we make better decisions? The top line on my whiteboard in my office says, "I trust in God, everyone else has to bring data."
that's a little Reagan-esque, isn't it? And trust but verify.
When somebody says, "Well, there's a lot," what does that mean?
What is a lot?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that 3 or is that 300,000?
Yeah.
You know, I need the data.
That makes a big difference.
So it you know, it continues. I mean, we're just watching it evolve, even in our office. And, you know, to how are we even using AI and, you know, ChatGPT, or I use Claude. But how are we using those things to...
They're going to become mainstream.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be integrated into everybody's life. Whether it's just, it's the internet all over again. When the internet came out, everybody poo-pooed it and was like, "Oh no, this is never going to take off. Why would you want people that you've never met, you know, being networked to you personally? Now look at the internet. We can't live without it."
Yeah.
I think the same damn thing's going to happen with AI. It's just going to be to where we can't function without it.
I mean, I've requested from our IT team to get me the Microsoft Copilot because I get 400 to 500 emails a day.
It's amazing. Yeah. I use it every day.
And I'm just like, I want to summarize all those emails because I don't have time to read them.
Yeah. And you utilize it to respond.
Send them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
It's genius.
So it is just a digital assistant.
Yeah.
How many employees do y'all have?
About a little over 60.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then marketing, what ways do y'all find is the most successful to turn heads and bring eyes to your attention?
Yeah, I mean, social media
is
probably still the biggest eye catcher.
Yeah.
You know, we do some of the old traditional ads and magazines and those kind of things.
Radio or just...
We haven't done a lot on radio. We do... we've done some YouTube, not a lot. We're working on that right now, of having somebody describing more about the boots and putting that on YouTube. But
you have to have somebody just to do YouTube.
Yes. So
we figured that out.
Yeah. So we're not good at it.
Yeah. So we're getting there with all those things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one foot in front of the other.
It astonishes me that, like, you know, websites still exist, but not as purposeful as social media does. So do you have an idea of what the ratio would be of, like, website visitors versus Facebook visitors?
Yeah, if I had my marketing lady here, she could tell me that. But and one of the challenges for us is we don't sell direct to consumer. So we're still that old school wholesale distributor. We only work with our retail partners, so our Facebook doesn't get as much attention as it would if we were
direct to consumer.
Yeah, we were selling direct to consumer.
Okay.
But I would venture a guess, and if Trisha, if you're listening to this, don't kill me, I would venture a guess that, you know, our Facebook, Instagram, TikTok stuff far surpasses our website.
Website traffic, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think that's the case with everybody these days.
Has that ever been thought of y'all doing anything like that, selling direct? Or
it comes up all the time, Prasad is, he's like, we're going to work with the people who got us here.
Right.
And we're going to honor
makes
that.
Sense. Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, and it probably takes a lot less of the pain dealing with.
Well, yeah, it's one less issue to deal with.
Yeah,
but you know, when COVID came along, all these other big footwear companies, they were, whatever they could get made and get shipped to them at the time, they were selling off their website and just telling the retailer, "Sorry, we don't have that available to you." And we're like, "Hey, we're open for business."
Yeah.
And so we picked up a lot of shelf space and a lot of new customers during the pandemic because we had inventory to sell to them.
Ready to go.
Yeah. And nice. And so that, and we've still kept a lot of that. So
how would a transition from, like, retail to direct to consumer, how would that work?
Oh, I mean,
to build a storefront?
Yeah. I mean, we could take our website and put a shop button on there quick.
Yeah. Okay.
We could do it really quick.
Okay.
But again, Prasad's he's very loyal to the people who got us where we are.
Yeah, definitely.
And so even though all those guys are buying multiple brands and even brands that sell direct to consumer, we had one of our big customers tell us, "Y'all are a true partner to us. We may not be as good of a partner to you, but we still buy a lot of your product."
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know your is Texas probably your biggest market?
Texas as a whole is, just because there's a Western store on every corner. Mm-hmm. You know, but we're all over the U.S. And especially now as we're branching out more into work, there's a lot of work and safety stores that we're getting into.
Okay.
Those are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing our distribution outside of Texas continue to grow pretty rapidly.
You got a lot to keep up with.
Yes.
Not in just footwear and leather, but your own personal stuff, everything, your life coaching, yep.
Yeah. At some point I've got to learn to say no.
Are you, you strike me as somebody who is a very motivated person. Like, you probably don't sit idly too much, do you?
I don't. I actually try to carve out time for that.
Do you? You like force yourself into just being still for a little bit?
And really, about the only way I do it well is, you know, my wife and I'll start watching a series or something. Mm-hmm. And so when we, you know, after dinner, we'll sit down and just watch an episode of something. And it's my time just to decompress, focus on something that doesn't matter. And just have a little bit of relaxation, because the rest of the time, my brain's just, mm-hmm. You know, we were in Cabo and I did a pretty good job of not focusing on everything else, but still it's always there. So I wish I could turn it off better, but.
Well, you've made waves because of you're that way.
Yeah.
You look at all the relationships and networking that you've done because of that. So yeah, you're a mover.
Yeah. It's been cool. It's been a fun life. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, if you could go back and do your life all over, what would you do different? And I told him, I said, you know, I can go back and say, well, I wish I'd have done this instead of this or this or that. But at the same time, I don't know if I would, because I wouldn't have the life I have now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got two great kids. I've got four great stepchildren. I've got five grandchildren. I've got the most incredible wife anyone could ever hope to have. I tell people she's an angel disguised as a human. Mm-hmm. And the work she does is phenomenal. And my life may not be like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it could be worse. I mean,
a joke.
But, you know, at the end of the day, life is just what life is, right?
Yeah. Well, sure. So the answer to the question is, how would you know if your life was any different, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't answer. It's the unanswerable question.
Right.
What would you do different in your life? Well, the answer is, I don't know, because I wouldn't know.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. Right. I think this is a good place to wrap it up,
awesome.
Man. A good chat about footwear. And you know, we need to get a hold of Taylor Sheridan. He's on my speed dial.
Yeah, yeah.
And talking about Tulsa King.
Yes.
Yeah. God, what is the actor's name?
Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone. He needs a pair of Twisted X.
Yeah.
Because in that, he's a criminal.
Right.
But he's a very classy and considerate criminal.
Yes, he is. He's a very nice guy.
And I think he would look good in a pair of Twisted X.
He would look great. He would look great in a pair of them.
It really makes me wonder, like, how many people are out, you know, wearing a pair of Twisted X unknowingly to you or to them.
They just, there's like, so many. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I'm being in the footwear world, you know, my wife at first thought I was kind of freaky because I was always looking at people's feet. I'm just looking at what shoes they're wearing. And, you know, I'm always seeing people, you know, in different places that I wouldn't expect to see somebody in Twisted X.
Yeah.
In Twisted X shoes. And so
it's awesome.
I know you pointed out the blue line, but is there an identifying characteristic that you can immediately look at somebody's feet, whether they've got, you know, their jeans over it or a skirt or something, and go, oh, that's a pair of Twisted X?
Yeah, there's some. I mean, like our cell stretch work boots have little, a lot of them have little bubbles on the heel.
Okay.
And so that's an easy way to tell.
Yeah.
Or that little blue line. Especially our casuals, we've got our own style for that.
Okay.
So I can tell most of the time if they're Twisted X or not.
Gotcha. So, and I guess the driving mock is still out there and available.
It is still iconic and still available.
I remember having a pair for about a year, and then I was sitting in the parking lot of Tractor Supply, and I saw one of my old buddies walk by, and then I looked down, I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, he's got some Twisted X mocks on. He knows, he likes to be comfortable too. And he was in the septic business. And I called him and I'm like, those shoes are comfortable, aren't they? He goes, damn right they are. And I said, are you working in those? He goes, shit, yeah, I am. I said, okay, all right, good for you.
Yeah, I've got a good friend of mine owns a business here, Paradise, not Decatur. And I don't know if I can advertise for them.
Sure, yeah, you can.
Yeah. Chris Lowry at Lowry Wholesale and Lowry
Metals.
Yeah,
we know them well.
And Chris one time sent me a picture in his closet and had 7 pair of Twisted X in there. Just goes, just want you to know, love your shoes.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
I have 3 pair in the closet. I've got 1 lace up and 2. I've got 1. I don't remember if it's a work boot. No, it's got smooth leather on the bottom. So it's, what would you call it?
Just a cowboy boot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I do have a 1 pair of work boots, and they're really light.
Yeah.
And
now we have we call it our ultralight outsole.
Yeah.
And I mean the outsole, we do this marketing thing where the normal blue collar work guy walks 20,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
And the impact that has on his footwear would be the size, the weight of an elephant.
Yeah.
And we've got these boots that have reduced the weight of the boots by 3 or 4 ounces. And, you know, it that doesn't sound like much till you think about how much you walk. And yeah.
Maybe I need to send you a picture of them. That may be what they are. I bought them a couple of years ago at NRS, and I was like, and I knew they were Twisted X. I just put them up and put them on. I'm like, oh, these are nice.
Yeah.
But they're almost as light as like my Brooks
yeah,
can't say running shoe. Don't run too much. My Brooks walking shoes. Yeah, they're almost as light as those. Like an unimaginably light for any leather made boot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we have a new lady styles out right now. The men's is coming. We call it Feather Light.
Mm.
It's the shoe is the weight of like a Snickers candy bar.
Oh wow.
And my wife got a pair when we were at NFR last year, and now she has 3 other pair, and has started wearing those.
Feather Light.
We were in my mom. We just had to put my mom in a nursing home, and we were down there a few weekends ago. And the aide that was there that weekend, you know, was asking us what we were doing. And Kelly's like, "Oh, I'm a, you know, clinical social worker and therapist," and thought they were going to connect on this healthcare level.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, "And then he's the money guy for Twisted X." And she's like, "Twisted X, those are my favorite shoes ever." You know. And then Kelly goes, and she goes, "What do you do?" And I'm like, "What?" And I always tell people I'm an accountant.
Yeah,
because you know I don't want to. Oh, I got a fancy title.
Right.
But Kelly goes, he's the CFO. And she's like, wow, that's, you know, I'm just going to can't wait to tell my friends I met the CFO of Twisted X. And it was just funny because it's like the accounting guy's the rock star.
Yeah.
Because I work for a great shoe brand.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Obviously you represent them well, but this is a good appeal to the working class out there that are listening to this. Believe it or not, we do have some blue collar fellows that listen to us.
Yeah.
But like, if you're in the construction world or industry, whatever you're doing, if you're on your feet, like treat your feet. I'm not joking when I say like these work boots that I've
treat
got.
Treat your feet.
Treat your feet. I wrote it down. These work boots that I have are extremely comfortable and lightweight, and you're gonna like notice a difference after a full day's work.
Yes,
I guarantee you. You put on your old work boots and then put on these, you're gonna notice.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna be a thing for sure. And like. That's a righteous investment for somebody that's in the blue collar world. Take care of what takes care of you.
Exactly right.
So yeah, I would say, money well spent.
Well, thank you.
No matter the cost. So, well, thank you, awesome. Sir Jeff. I think that about wraps it up for us.
Do in your coaching, do you advertise that for anybody, or is that just pick and choose? Or
no, it's for anybody.
Would you like to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, well, LinkedIn is the easiest place to find me, and my LinkedIn thing is Jeff Jones 940. So you can find me there, or you can email me at Jeff@Summit SUMMIT collab collab.com.
Nice.
So
what was the LinkedIn address? Jeff
Jones 940.
Okay. I got it written down. We'll put that, we'll tag it all in show notes.
Cool.
So
thank you.
We can direct people to the company. Like if you've been living under a rock and don't know about Twisted X, we'll find you that avenue to get to them. all right, Jeff. Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for chatting with us.
And, thank you guys.
And good luck to all the endeavors that you have going on.
I appreciate it.
For sure.
And thanks to Twisted X. We really appreciate the time.
Heck yeah.
You bet. Thank you.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Good night.
You're sweating.
You've been listening to the Whiskey Bros Around the Table.
Gracias por convivir con los hermanos Whiskey.